The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. Please turn to page 310 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. Allow me to read the words of God. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity up to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Amen. God the Father has blessed us and chosen us before the foundation of the world to be His children. God the Son has redeemed us with His blood, granting us forgiveness of sins. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The term redemption was commonly used in the context of the slave market. At that time, people became slaves mainly by being born into slavery, by incurring a huge debt, or by being captured as prisoners of war. During the time when Jesus lived and when the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians in the first century, it is estimated that about one-third of the population in Rome were slaves, numbering around 3 to 3.5 million people. Across the entire Roman Empire, it is estimated that nearly 10% of the population, around 50 to 60 million people, were slaves. To be redeemed from slavery, either the slave or someone else had to pay the price for their freedom to their master. Sometimes, a noble would purchase a slave and adopt them as their own child. A good example of this is in the movie Ben-Hur, where a Roman consul adopts Ben-Hur, a slave who saved his life, as his own son. In the Ephesian church, there were likely many Christians who were former slaves. For them, the word redemption was incredibly moving and full of life. In Christianity, which believes in a savior outside of oneself, redemption is a crucial concept. Every human being, without exception, is a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. Thus, what awaited us was eternal death. The one who has redeemed us, the one who has lifted us out of eternal death, is Jesus Christ. However, in religions like Buddhism, which believe that the Savior is within oneself, there is no concept of redemption. Instead, the focus is on making oneself as divine as possible, as they believe this is the only way to save oneself. Some people might say, can someone as wicked as that person be saved? Or, if someone that evil can enter the kingdom of God, then I do not want to go to God's kingdom. But God's declaration as our Creator is that no one can redeem themselves from their sins by their own ability or good deeds, and no one can achieve salvation on their own. If it had been possible for us to achieve redemption, the forgiveness of sins through our own efforts, Jesus would not have come to this earth. However, redemption is not merely about being freed from sin. It also encompasses the ongoing process of salvation that continues until we take our last breath on this earth and stand before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. The word salvation is synonymous with redemption. To explain this verse further, it means Jesus is the wisdom that comes from God, and through Him we have been placed in a right relationship with God of righteousness, become His holy people, and received eternal life. Salvation, or redemption, is a one-time event, but it has eternal consequences. Many Christians might express or think this way: I understand that I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but why is my life still such a mess? What has improved since I believed in Jesus? Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 to 6. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The Exodus was the greatest, most unforgettable event in the history of the Israelites. However, the Exodus itself was not the ultimate goal. God led them out of Egypt so that they could enter the land of Canaan and live as His people there. But their mindset was extremely worldly. They thought, before we crossed the Red Sea, we used to eat fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. And to add a bit more, and we used to eat these vegetables wrapped in meat. But now, they had nothing but manna. They might have thought, did we come out of Egypt just to go on a one-food diet? Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. I'm so sick of manna that just thinking about it makes me nauseous. If the Israelites had the right perspective and heart, they would have been moving towards Canaan in a right relationship with God. If our salvation as redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the proper response is to remember that He gave His life to give us that redemption and to maintain communion and walk with the One who redeemed us until the very end. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. God redeemed us from slavery to sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. In doing so, He has lavished His grace upon us. But the redemption through Jesus Christ and God's abundance do not end there. He has also overflowed us with wisdom and understanding, so that we might know the mystery of His will. In other words, not only did God plan our salvation and guide us with the richness of His grace, but He also made us abound in wisdom and understanding so that we could comprehend this mystery. Wisdom can be understood as the ability to discern God's word, will, and actions. God has given everyone an equal 24 hours in a day. No one receives 30 hours in a day because they appear special, nor does anyone receive only 20 hours because they seem lacking. While everyone lives through the same 24 hours a day, 30 days a month, and 365 days a year, the content and outcome of each person's life are far from identical. Some make the most of their lives, while others waste them. Only those who apply wisdom can lift their lives up. God has also given us all the same 66 books of the Bible. The content of the Bible is vast. There are often times when we find ourselves at a loss about which specific scripture to hold onto. Knowing which scripture to hold onto in the particular circumstances we face is the power of wisdom. Many years ago, when I had just begun my ministry, a church member called the church and said, "Assistant pastor, I'm in a serious situation where I need to quote scripture. Can you help me find the right verse for this situation?" Back then, I used to read the Bible with highlighters of different colors, yellow, light green, blue, and pencil. I would underline passages according to their purpose, which made it easier to find verses. Of course, nowadays, it's much easier to search for verses on a computer. If someone has a word to share with others in their life, with their family, or with those around them, that person possesses the wisdom of the word. Understanding can be described as the ability to interpret God's word, will, and actions. Even if God performs great and small works in our lives, if we do not correctly interpret and accept them, they will be of no help in our spiritual growth and maturity. How we interpret the same event can either lead us to see it as God's work and grow in faith, or simply view it as a coincidence, attributing to luck, whether good or bad. Emotional elements are indeed important in our faith life. Meditating on God and His words, we may be deeply moved by the greatness and wonder of what He has done for us. Contemplating the cross and Jesus Christ on it, we may be overwhelmed by His suffering and brought to tears. We may also experience emotions in prayer that we have never felt before. During revival meetings in the past, phrases such as "Don't question it, just believe it," "Lord, I believe," and "Simply obey, God will work," or "If you feel moved in your heart, make a resolution," we're often heard. Like this, sometimes emotions give us opportunities to grow our faith. However, faith is a personal relationship. If you don't personally trust someone, it is hard to believe their words. No matter how eloquently a con artist speaks, it's difficult to trust them. Conversely, the words of someone whose actions and words consistently align and whose faith and actions match will be trusted. Of course, people and their words can never be 100% correct, which is why human relationships and words can never be fully reliable. However, the more we get to know God and His Word, the more we trust Him. The reason Israel failed to live as God's people was because they did not correctly and truly know God and His Word. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. God did not say that His people were destroyed because they did not offer worship. He also did not say they were destroyed because they did not properly observe the festivals. Rather, God says that because His people rejected knowledge and forgot the law, His word, He too would forget them. Therefore, the prophet Hosea exhorts us with these words. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. In our life of faith, knowing God correctly and serving Him properly is of utmost importance, and this cannot be overstated. That's why the prophet Hosea urges us to press on to know the Lord. There is a saying in Korea, 눈에 콩깍지가 씌었다, to have bean pots over one's eyes, which refers to the phenomenon of being so infatuated during a romantic relationship that one cannot see their partner objectively, only seeing them in a positive light. In contrast, American statesman Benjamin Franklin once said, "Keep your eyes wide open before marriage, half shut afterwards." Keeping one's eyes wide open means that we must truly understand the other person. Only then can we love them deeply and broadly. To love someone is not to disregard reason, logic, or discernment, and simply respond with emotion. It is to build a right relationship based on a foundation of reason, logic, and discernment. One of the powerful characteristics of love is the maintenance of equality. God the Son loved humanity so much that He became human, thus becoming equal with us. Failing to acknowledge equality in a relationship results in pity, not love. Pity involves looking down on someone from a perceived position of superiority, and it is not love. Although love and pity may appear similar, they are fundamentally opposite. Love cannot tolerate differences that create distance. There may be differences in education or material wealth, but love cannot bear differences of heart. Therefore, statements like "I married you" or "I saved you" should never be uttered after marriage, because they are not expressions of equality, but of pity. According to an experiment and research conducted by a South Korean broadcasting company and a professor of psychiatry, the lifespan of the love goggles, the euphoric feelings associated with love, is about 300 days. In the early stages of a romantic relationship, the part of the brain that stimulates instincts is highly active, but after about 7 months, the part of the brain responsible for rational judgment becomes more active. Similarly, while heart rates increase significantly during a kiss early in the relationship, they drop significantly after 7 months. It is likely that the lifespan of the love goggles would be much shorter depending on one's age and prior romantic experiences. The same applies to our life of faith. There are times when we experience overwhelming emotion, when tears flow uncontrollably, or when we feel a clear and certain assurance that someone is holding and guiding us. However, these experiences are not the entirety of our faith. If they were, God wouldn't have given us such a thick Bible. Even if he had, he would have limited the content necessary for salvation to fewer than 20 pages. Moreover, when we gather for worship, we wouldn't need to open our Bibles. Instead, we could simply shout "Lord" 3 times or even 100 times, pray loudly, and then ask each other, "How intense was your feeling today?" Or, "I felt like an earthquake was happening." And, "How much did you cry?" Or, "I had so many tears streaming down my face, it felt like the monsoon season." Furthermore, if we did not need wisdom and understanding, God would not have given us the book of Ephesians as part of the Bible, which is challenging to comprehend. Verse 8 to 9. "That he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ." God has caused us to abound in wisdom and understanding so that we might know the mystery of his will. If you look up the word "secret" in a Korean dictionary, it's defined as something hidden, something that should not be revealed to others or made known, or something that has not been disclosed or known. However, the secret mentioned in this passage and the mystery often referred to in the Bible do not fit this dictionary definition. The word for mystery in Greek is mysterion, from which the English word mystery is derived. While a secret can be known if someone reveals it, a mystery remains beyond understanding even if it is seen or revealed. Therefore, the secret in the Bible often aligns more with the concept of mystery. When I encountered the word "secret," mysterion, in the Bible, I often interpreted in my heart as mystery rather than secret. This mystery doesn't refer to something that is completely beyond human understanding, but rather something that cannot be discovered through human wisdom alone. However, once a person receives the ability to understand this mystery from an external source, they can begin to comprehend it. Thus, this mystery is neither completely incomprehensible to everyone, nor is it something that everyone can easily understand. Luke chapter 8, verse 9 to 10. his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This was said by Jesus after explaining the parable of the sower who scattered seeds on four types of ground. Jesus revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God to his disciples, but he did not allow others to understand them. So, even though the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and others heard the same teachings as the disciples, they could not understand them. Despite their much greater knowledge and learning compared to the disciples, they could not grasp the meaning because of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. There is a gospel song called That Name with lyrics written by poet Song Myung-hee. The word secret appears repeatedly in the song's lyrics, but I often substitute secret with mystery in my mind as I read them. Jesus, that name, I cannot describe it. The mystery within that name, the love within that name, I cannot express that love. Its richness is beyond words. It became a mystery. That name became a mystery. People rejected that name like a stone the builders rejected. But the name etched in my heart is a beautiful jewel. To me, it is a precious mystery, a hidden joy in my heart. Jesus, oh, that name, I cannot describe it. The mystery of that name, the love of that name. Poet Song Myung-hee is not saying that she cannot know or understand anything about Jesus. Rather, she's confessing that his mystery is so vast and profound. Song Myung-hee became severely disabled with cerebral palsy just 1 week after she was born. Instead of resenting the Lord for such a severe disability, which might have seemed like an undeserved burden, she came to understand Christ's rejection, though he is the eternal cornerstone, through her own experiences of being shunned by people. She understood Christ's suffering more deeply than anyone else because of her own pain. That's why she confesses that name of the Lord is her joy and her precious jewel. Poet Song Myung-hee also confesses in her hymn, "I," with these words, "I have no wealth, I have no knowledge like others, I don't have the health that others have, but I have what others don't. I have seen what others haven't seen, I have heard a voice others haven't heard, I have received love that others haven't received, I have understood what others haven't understood. The fair God, though I lack what others have, the fair God has given me what others don't have." Despite having a severe disability that prevents her from moving her body at will, Song Myung-hee can still proclaim that God is fair because she has grasped the mystery of the gospel and salvation. The salvation and gospel of the Lord are indeed mysterious. When we experience becoming children of God and the cross of the Lord, we encounter the mystery of God, a mystery that the world can never know. The fact that we are here today in this place of worship is the result of God's mysterious work. I find it profoundly mysterious that someone like me has become a pastor, a person who proclaims God's word. The Apostle Paul, who also experienced the mystery of God, confessed, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, O depth, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. The reason why God's works and the salvation He provides are mysterious is because we are finite creatures, while God is the infinite Creator. If we were not finite, we wouldn't perceive it as a mystery, because we would think we could do it ourselves. Therefore, recognizing this mystery is an act of faith. Before the Middle Ages, people believed the earth was flat and that there was a cliff at the edge of the world where one would fall off and never return. But how did we come to know that the earth is round? How did we come to know that this mass of earth floats in space? Moreover, how did we come to know that this massive earth orbits around a sun that is a million times larger than earth? How then can we fathom the judgments and thoughts of God who created the earth and hung it in space? It's difficult for people to understand the depth of a wise person. A student cannot fully comprehend their teacher, nor can an apprentice fully understand the master craftsman. How much more difficult is it for us to fully understand the ways of God who created and governs all of heaven and earth? Even though we may not fully comprehend everything, let us open the windows of our hearts wide toward God, that we may deepen our fellowship with the God who reveals to us the mystery of salvation. As we acknowledge God's mysteries and entrust our lives to Him, our lives will be filled with His work and guidance. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that by the richness of Your grace, we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But You didn't stop there. You have also caused wisdom and understanding to overflow in us, allowing us to know the mystery, or rather, the wonder of Your will. As the length of our faith journey increases, we ask that the wisdom and understanding You bestow upon us grow ever richer. May we therefore be able to reap the fruits of truth and life in every aspect of our lives. Help us to interpret the events, big and small, that occur in our lives through the lens of faith, so that our faith may continue to grow and mature. Above all, help us to remember that we are finite creatures, while You are the infinite Creator, so that we may acknowledge Your divine mysteries. We recognize that we are weak and flawed, with countless faults that we are aware of. Yet, we cannot comprehend the grace that allows us to know and experience Your divine mysteries. May we fully entrust ourselves to You each day, so that our lives may be filled with Your works and guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.